yes, he is risen. Praise God. Thank you. We have announcements as we begin this morning. There is an egg hunt that's going to take place here right after church. I think the Easter Bunny's been around. I almost ran over him this morning in my neighborhood as I was coming out this morning for sunrise. Had to swerve to miss the Easter Bunny. So he did make it out here, and we had 21 here for sunrise service, so praise God for that. And you see on the back of your bulletin, we had 32 for our love feast. We're grateful for that. We had a good evening together. There's an announcement here from Maxine.
Flowers here, there's a lot of them that still are unclaimed. Please take them because they're not going to last too long, much longer. And even the ones that looks like they're done blooming, you still have the bulbs, you can claim them next year. So please help yourself because we need to get rid of these.
All right, so take the Easter flowers in the windows this morning. And you'll notice May is coming right very quickly here, and May 1st is May 7th is the bank sale. Also, that's at the fire hall. Does anyone want to say anything more about the bank sale? All right. I think there is a sign-up sheet there in the back of the bulletin board for that. Also, the same day is the disaster auction. We have the disaster auction booklets here in the back, so feel free to pick up one of those. You'll find our church advertisement is on page 60. And then also, you'll see on page 33, last year's total was $72,000, and the grand total for the last 41 years is over $2 million. And so praise God for these efforts to raise funds to help people in need following a disaster. And so make yourself available to those.
We need to keep in prayer, too, the meat canning this week.
Yes, meat canning project's going on this week, and so please keep your folks, we have volunteers, they have enough volunteers have signed up to do the meat canning. And if everyone shows up that's signed up, we're in good shape with that. So there'll be a chicken that will be prepared, and that will be shared with agencies across the areas and also overseas as well. Any other announcements? Thank you.
We may bring a ball of chain.
If you fasten me to these pews, they move. So.
Good luck getting it out.
Let us begin our worship here on this Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Day, with this prelude. Jerry? call to worship from Psalms 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Let us come to God in prayer. Father God, we give you thanks and praise on this Resurrection Day. Thank you for this Easter that we can share together with family and friends and our church family. And we just ask, Lord, your blessings in this time together. Thank you for those who have already been here. What a beautiful sunrise it was, Lord. And we give you praise and honor and glory. We acknowledge you as our Savior, as the Lamb of God. And Holy Spirit, come, help us to worship you in spirit and truth today. We pray that you would meet the needs in our families, in our community, our country, and in the world. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in standing? We'll sing hymn number 317. May be seated, but if you would hang on to your hymnal there, I would invite you to turn to page 417. page 417, I just wanted to highlight the words here from this hymn. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hallelujah. Lives again our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Dying once, he all doth save. Where thy victory, O grave? Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Death is vain, forbids him rise. Christ has opened paradise. Soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head. Made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Hallelujah. We rejoice on this Easter morning and praise God. And we're grateful to have Sister Teresa here, and she's prepared a special song to come and share with us today.
At my feet. It's okay if it's hard to believe. I have faith you will do greater things. It's my time to go, but before I leave, go tell the world about me.
Thank you, Teresa. Excellent. We have a chance to share together in prayer, and before we do so, I'd like to hear what's on your hearts and minds.
We're just grateful for the season. We just think of the prophets, how they were God's helpers back then. And we think of the Jesus' what's his helpers right now?
Disciples.
Well, when you get this old, nothing works right. But anyhow, we're just grateful that Jesus was God's son, and grateful that God provided him as our Savior and our Redeemer. And we're just grateful, one and all, for each and every one here that have physical defects, and only the love and the healing of our Lord can conquer many of those things. So we praise you, Tracy, for all you do and how you do it, and your family. We just reach out to each and every one that they might have a happy Easter and be able to redeem this season for a long time.
Amen. We want to keep Brother Frank and Pat in our prayers. They weren't fully good. They were here for sunrise and have some stomach issues, I think, going on. Also, Brad, I understand, is sick today. So please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Others? Let's see.
My sister Erin, she's still in rehab. She's doing a little better right now, but yeah,
and Wanda?
This is not really a prayer request, but I forgot announcements. Any of you that have time this week, fill out a birthday card and send it to David Philpotts. We talked with him yesterday, and this week, this coming week, I think it's around the 25th or something, he has a birthday. What did he say? It'll be 73. So just setting, because I know he gets lonely and wants company, so that would brighten his day to get cards in the mail.
Very much so.
If you have time, send him a birthday card.
David Philpott's 73rd birthday coming up. So.
Along with that, he did have a message on the machine wishing everyone at church happy Easter.
Yes.
You can keep my list. I do have several unspoken requests that God knows who they are and what it is.
Thank you. Deb's list. And others, let's come to the Lord in prayer. As we do so, you're invited to kneel, or you may remain seated. Let's end then with the Lord's Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this season of spring and Easter as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the way that you water the earth abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. And we are anxious for gardening to begin. And the spring flowers are blooming. Lord, we look forward to all that you have for us. In a time, Lord, when we have so many blessings, Lord, we are just grateful for family and friends and for health and for jobs and all that you've given to us. We're mindful of those who are under the weather today. Be with Bradley and Frank and Pat. Be with Irene. We pray, Father, that you would continue to move in Francis's life. And we thank you, Father, for those who are friends and neighbors are far and wide, and so be with David. We ask, Lord, you would bless all who come to mind, those who are on our list. We think of family and friends who don't know you yet, Lord, and so we pray for their salvation. We ask, Father, that you might move in the world scene, and so help the refugees in Ukraine. Lord, help those who are trying to help. We pray, Father, for families to be reunited. We pray that your hand would be upon those who have lost lives. God, we ask you would continue to move in the leaders of this country and in our world. Help them to make wise decisions that affect many people. We are told to pray for those in authority that we might live lives that are peaceable. And so, God, we pray for peace here and abroad. Lord, we ask, Lord, you might move in those who are widowed, those who are orphaned. Lord, would you show yourself strong in their lives? We think of missionaries, Lord, or sharing the word. Help them, Lord, in sometimes very difficult circumstances and situations. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are experiencing persecution because of their faith. And so on this Resurrection Day, Lord, we pray there be much joy in their communities of faith. We pray, Lord, you would replace the churches that have been burned. That you would heal the scars. That you would bring about a sense of peace and security for them. We think of those who are hungry, Lord. We have so much. Lord, would you meet the needs of those who don't have today. God, we want to bless you and thank you, Lord, for the great plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. Thank you that when we called out to you, that you came into our hearts and brought salvation. And Lord, we thank you for the great promise of hope beyond the grave. We ask that you would bless our time together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. As Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand with me and we'll share in a second hymn here, number 337.
Child of glory.
You may be seated. Well, the reading of the gospel for this Easter day, we have the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple whom came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, on this resurrection day, we pause in your presence and ask the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds now indeed would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, help us to see the Easter story through Mary's eyes again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Celebrate. Don't you just love that word? The season and occasion for being festive, to praise or to sing the glories of someone, to honor or observe some special occasion or event, to perform a religious ceremony publicly. Celebrate. Of all the anniversaries and birthdays and graduations, parties or weddings that we could celebrate, today is a day for us to celebrate. This is the greatest celebration of all. Christians should celebrate today because it is a celebration of the risen Lord. And so happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It's Resurrection Day. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's time to celebrate. In 1980, Cool and the Gang released a song that became very popular. It's entitled Celebration. And the tune goes a little bit like this. There's a party going right here. A celebration will last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We're going to celebrate your party with you. Come on now. Celebration. Let's all celebrate and have a good time. There's a party going on right here. A dedication lasts throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We're going to celebrate your party with you. Come on now. Celebration. Well, come on, church. It's a time to celebrate. We should get excited. this place should be full, right?
Amen.
This is a time to celebrate the risen Lord. And so we should say, woohoo, yay. Hosanna to the King of Kings. The Lord has come and he reigns. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, I think, is more significant than your favorite team winning the Super Bowl or the World Series or the Indy 500 or the NBA playoffs or your favorite actor or actress winning the Oscar. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was obedient to the Father's will and his design for salvation down through the ages. And he successfully went all the way to a cruel cross in order to die for the sin of the whole world. And then because of his victorious obedience to the Father's plan, God raised him up on the third day, defeating death and sin in the grave. And so we have a tremendous hope to look forward to. The arch enemy of our souls lost his attempts to interfere with God's plan, and Christ was victorious. And so atheists and agnostics and evolutionists and secular humanists, they can say what they will about Christianity, about Christians in the church. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive. Pagans, communists, Muslims, feminists, socialists, you can deny the fact, but that doesn't change the truth that our Lord lives. And by faith in Jesus Christ, so will we. Lucifer and all the demonic forces of evil, you've lost. Christ has won. The victory is ours. Clarence Hall said, Easter says that you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. They tried to defeat Christ, but he didn't stay there. Praise be to God. You know, we have a lot on our minds these days with Russia and Ukraine. And it's important for us to remember that the brother motto has always been that all war is sin. And the truth is that the genocide that's going on there is coming out. There is great destruction, great evil, great loss of life that's taking place in Ukraine right now. And I thought it might be helpful for us to remember some things that have happened in the past. And so years ago, a very prominent and powerful Russian leader, his name is Nikolai Borodin. And he lived from 1888 to 1939, and he was a part of the Bolshevist Revolution in 1917. He was editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda, which by the way means truth, and he was to speak at a very huge assembly in Kiev in 1930 on the subject of atheism. Well, he was famous for his works on economics, on political science, and Marxist philosophy, and so he was to address the crowd. And as he did so, he aimed his arguments, his heavy artillery, at Christianity. And he hurled insult and argument and, quote, proofs against the faith for a whole hour. And after he finished his attack, he looked out over the audience, and he thought he had the smoldering ashes of man's faith there, and he demanded and asked, are there any questions? And there was a deafening silence that filled the auditorium for a moment. And then off to the side, one man got up and came forward, approached the platform, and he mounted the lectern standing next to the communist leader. And he first looked to the left and then looked to the right. And finally, he shouted that ancient greeting so well known in the Russian Orthodox Church. Christ is risen. And with one mass, all of these people stood up and they shouted together like thunder. He is risen indeed. That spoke volumes. Spoke volumes for that moment. To say what you will about Christianity, about Christ, but that doesn't change the fact that he is alive. And he is probably soon coming again. Brothers and sisters, on this Easter morning, I want to say to you, he is risen. He is risen indeed. I'm convinced of that. I have faith that Jesus lived, died, and was buried. There is a tremendous amount of evidence and historical fact that the Jesus of Nazareth was a person who lived at that time and was killed and rose again. We believe this to be true, and We know that he is coming again, perhaps soon. And so this is my last Easter with you as your pastor. And I stand here on Resurrection Day in this pulpit to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. How do I know the resurrection is real? Well, people that I have looked up to for years and have trusted told me so. And I have believed the Easter story since I was a teenager. The events fulfill the prophecy spoken for centuries down through the ages, and each of those prophecies have come true. Jesus' death was a public execution. His grave was politically secured. There was a guards at hand at the order of the Roman authorities. And the resurrection has stood the test of time. There has been great evidence. The seal was broken. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. There was a great earthquake. The body was gone. This is exactly what the Jews didn't want to happen. That the disciples could claim that he rose again if they couldn't find the body. And particularly in our reading for the scriptures this morning, it was the way that the grave clothes were lying there. When they were preparing the body, they would wrap the head separately. And so, and the body was wrapped. And it wasn't like Jesus got awake and yawned and kind of unwrapped himself and threw the clothes in the corner. It was that the body disappeared. And so the clothes went like this. And the head was probably still in a concave shape, but no head in it. And so when they went in and saw the clothes, they believed. Many people saw Jesus alive again following the resurrection. Disciples, over 500 people at one time, so it was no group hallucination. His disciples were changed men, and they gave up their lives because they believed this to be true. Now, people do not sacrifice themselves for a lie. If they knew it was a lie, they would not have died for it. And so I think it's important for us today to not only remember the evidence for the resurrection, but to see it with new eyes, and perhaps to see it through the eyes of Mary. Our scripture, lectionary scripture for today is the Gospel of John, and this is the account of the miracle of the resurrection, and we get a glimpse of this taking place through the eyes of Mary. This wasn't Jesus' mother, but this was Mary Magdalene, one of whom Jesus healed of demonic spirits. And so today I want to just encourage you to quickly hear again the Easter story through her eyes. She was a woman from the village of Magdala near the Sea of Galilee, and this Mary had been healed not of just one demonic spirit, but seven. And so you can just imagine what kind of life she must have lived. Before seeing Jesus, her life was a mess, physically and spiritually, morally and emotionally. And when she encountered this famous rabbi from Nazareth, such a tremendous flood of peace and freedom and love came over her, and she became one of the disciples and followers of Jesus. Mary Magdalene was one of the group of the women who gave of their resources and provisions to help Jesus and the disciples as they traveled around, and they accompanied them on some of their preaching and their healing tours. She saw and felt firsthand how tenderly Jesus cared for people. Regardless of their social status or cultural customs of the day, especially for women and children, Jesus met all of their needs. She experienced it and came to the realization that, you know, we don't have to get our lives all together or straightened out first before coming to him. And she felt his tremendous love and care. He accepted her just for the way she was. And there was a great evil that tormented her daily life, and she was held captive for so long. And now she had this tremendous freedom, and she felt naturally gratitude and faith to follow. I think for us here in the 21st century, as citizens of this country, we sometimes forget what it must have been like for women back in that day. In that time and culture, women did not possess any rights or freedoms that they have today. You know, back then life was very hard. And you might experience some glass ceilings in your job. You might be misunderstood. Sometimes people might think certain things about women, but back then, life was especially hard. The days were long, the burden of house chores to do, carrying water, making fire in order to cook. There were many burdens to bear, notably childbearing. They did not have a voice in the public arena. There were no voting privileges for women, and women were considered unreliable witnesses in court proceedings. And so don't ask a woman to give the story. They could be easily divorced by disgruntled husbands, and widows were the most destitute because they had no system of Social Security. There are still many places in the world today where these things occur. Women are often oppressed and taken advantage of, even today. This is not how God intended life to be. Something wonderful happened in the Garden of Eden on that fifth day of creation, and that was when Eve was formed from the side of Adam to be his helpmeet. Remember, he wasn't formed from the head or from the foot, but from the side to stand with him and help him. However, humanity's fall, because of that, sin entered the world, and we needed to experience God's grace. It needed to be restored to the purpose and to make relationships whole again. And so this was obvious in Jesus' love and care for people. He showed people God's love, and he wanted to let them know how much God cared, and so he gave his life. Mary Magdalene personally saw this take place. She felt it, and she was seeing others set free as well. Her love, her loyalty, and her trust that were put in the Jesus, this great teacher, this miracle worker, this rabbi, was making a scene, and she was a part of what was going on. His words were full of heaven, full of grace and truth, and she accepted them. She understood them. She understood his special care for all people, and for women in particular. Remember, there was the woman that he spoke to, the Samaritan woman at the well. That was culturally a no-no. He brought the widow's son back to life. She would have been quite destitute without him. He cured the woman in the temple. He brought relief to the woman who had the issue of blood. Just by reaching out and touching his robe, she was made whole. Mary was a group of women who followed Jesus and went with him throughout Galilee and then to Jerusalem for this final trip. She was among the women who witnessed the crucifixion, probably was standing there comforting Mary, the mother of Jesus. She went to the tomb expecting to perform and complete some of the funeral arrangements and then found no body. Remember, they hastily prepared the body because it was sundown. And so she came, brought spices in order to properly prepare the body for burial. Can you understand her great grief? Her surprise to find that the stone, a huge stone, impossible for one or two people to roll away, and had been moved. And then, in the midst of her grief and sadness, the joy of that first Easter morning, as she amazingly encounters the risen Lord. Even through eyes that were tearful, she recognized not him at first, but she recognized his voice. Now, when I call my mother on the phone, she has a hard time hearing. But as soon as I say, "Hi, Mom," her tone changes. She thinks it's a telemarketer at first. "Hello?" "Hi, Mom." "Oh, hi, Tracy." The tone in her voice changes. And Jesus says to her, "Mary." He calls her name. He knows her, and she knows him. And as soon as she hears him call her name, she says, "Rabbi, Rabboni, teacher, Lord." She doesn't know how it's possible, but he's alive again. And Mary becomes the first to see him resurrected. Think about that. I like the way Edith Dean writes this. Just a little brief paragraph here from her writings. She says, "Strange it was that the first word spoken inside the empty tomb was woman." Think about that. The first word spoken inside the tomb was woman. And then there followed the angel's question, "Why weepest thou?" Mary Magdalene answered, "Because thou hast taken away my Lord, I know not where they laid him." Then she turned, and Jesus stood before her. Not till he spoke her name, Mary, did she recognize that he was Jesus. Though she had not found Christ, he had found her and had called her by name. Then she returned to him with her cry of recognition and said to her master, "Rabboni." As Mary Magdalene stood there in the soft breaking of the dawn, Jesus had spoken in a voice so tender that it must have penetrated her to her heart. "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary, all stricken, hastened to tell the others that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. In Christ's resurrection, Mary Magdalene had witnessed not a mere recitation, but a changing to another form, a form not subject to the ordinary laws of the flesh, but ready now for a new mode of existence and a new set of relationships, a form not temporal, but eternal. Yet he was still alive, active, able to reach out and to speak. Mary Magdalene went forth to prepare others for this change in their master. Her long watch at the grave in the early morning had been an evidence of her faith. Because of her faith, she became the first witness to the resurrection. In a little while, followers would see and feel where the nail holes had been in his hands and the spear wound in his side, but they would learn that his body could not be pierced again, for it had taken on an indestructible form. This woman, the first to witness the resurrection. Jesus showed his great care and love to people, and particularly to Mary, because he knew how much she had been tormented by seven demons. And he comforted her in her grief, and he gave her a great joy and a responsibility to go and to tell the good news, to share that he was alive. I think today our commission is very much the same. We're to share the good news. That same joy and excitement can be ours as we simply share what we have seen and what we have felt. And so how have you seen God work in your life? What have you seen? What have you felt? You know, when we're sharing with others, we can give our testimony. You can't dismiss that. It's not just your opinion, but this is what I have seen. This is what I have felt. And you might be surprised what happens when you do. I was reading a missionary report, and I thought this was very interesting. You know, when people actually see this, they get a better understanding. And with technology now, we have the Jesus movie that's circulating around the world. Crusade for Christ is using this film to show in villages and places that have never had technology for a long time. They're going in, setting up, and showing this movie, and it's changing lives. And this is one an account that has taken place. In this particular community, that said the road to the town ends at the school. The missionary said that the team was able to get out and receive permission to show the Jesus film to the children. The school agreed, and 36 children through fifth grade were able to watch it. The missionaries told the children to come back later with their parents that night. So then the missionaries, as their custom, they went out into the villages and into the area, searching, telling people that they were going to be showing this movie that evening at the school. And in the course of about 5 hours, the team was only able to reach about seven homes. The team was then able to meet in the past. They had a lot of success, but oftentimes, only a few people would show, and many times only a few people would respond. But in this evening, at least 60 people arrived to watch the film. And when the movie was over, a missionary preached the message of salvation and Jesus' atonement for our sins, and until they were sure that the people understood. And the missionaries then, when he had finished speaking, he said that many people were weeping. They had seen it for their own eyes. They understood why Jesus died. And the leader asked if anyone would like to give their lives to Christ. And a total of 40 people, 24 adults and 16 youth, fell on their knees. And many asked in tears, "Why hasn't anyone come and told us this before?" It moved them in a tremendous way. He said, "My wife and I have been to many secluded villages to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Once in a while, people give their lives to him. But this trip was overwhelming to me to see how the Holy Spirit had been working in the absence of any Christian presence." The Holy Spirit had already been working in the hearts and lives of the people before the missionaries showed up and showed the movie. And as a result of seeing the life of Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection on the film, they were then responded in an overwhelming way. Now, 60 and 40 people responded, that's two-thirds. Two-thirds of those in attendance that night. I recall when we would go to Windy Gap in North Carolina, we'd take kids there. Young Life, I think, does a wonderful job at outreach. And each week of the summer, 300, 400 kids at each camp property experience the Christian message in a wonderful way. And at the end, there's a chance, what they call the say-so. And kids can stand up and say if they've accepted Jesus Christ or not. And I've been in a room of 300 kids, and two-thirds of the room stands up. And in tears, youth, teenagers, young adults, sharing that what this week has meant to them, and that they're giving their lives to Christ. I can tell you that's a powerful moment. That's a powerful thing to experience. And people can experience that even today. Seeing Jesus for who he is, the risen, living Lord and our Savior. And we can be filled with joy and enthusiasm, and we can share that good news. And so, it's Easter. Like Mary, do you see? Do you understand? Do you have the joy of the Lord? Look at Easter through the eyes of Mary. And I think that you will be surprised. It's not just about life back then, Israel 2,000 years ago, but it's about gaining an understanding, gaining a vision, and experiencing again the joy of telling others about that Jesus is alive and he's coming again, perhaps soon. Like Mary Magdalene, don't you see how frantic life can be when we're just running around searching for the meaning of life without looking in the right place? Misunderstanding the truths that are before our eyes. She thought he was the gardener. If you just tell me where you laid him, I'll go get him. I'll take care of his body. Just tell me where he is. Mary, I'm standing right in front of you. Here I am. Only Jesus can deliver. Only Jesus can save. From the evil that is around us, from the evil that's within, only Jesus can bring the healing that we need. And for those who finally see the resurrected Lord, hopefully before it's too late, they will experience freedom and joy, and they also will share that joy with others. You know, we can't help but love the Lord, to love the teacher, to love the rabbi, to love the Lamb of God who's taken away the sin of the world. And so this Easter, will you just stand at the grave and weep? Will you cling to his feet and worship? Or will you obediently go and tell others, joyfully running to share that the Lord is risen? I've seen him. Perhaps with all the stuff that's going on in our world today, we need something to believe in. and it is the truth. And as we share that truth, we have a tremendous joy to encounter the risen Lord and to be his disciples. This Easter, like Mary, let us share our faith joyfully. Let us continue to see this great love that he has for us and to wish everyone that we encounter happy Easter. Jesus is Lord. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Loving God, our dear Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, our Comforter and perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God and the Son of Man, we thank you for this Easter 2022. It is with gratitude that we praise you on this special day, for you are the Son. You're the author of our salvation. You're the risen and living Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for giving up your life, for the life, death, and resurrection, that you might live again, and thus that we might be saved, and that we might live for all eternity. God, help us to see how frantic our daily lives can become without you, and that your word and that you really are what we need. We confess, Lord, at times that we fail to live for you. For those who have lost hope, we pray that you'd grant them open eyes to see the truth, that you would open their hearts to feel your love. For those whose eyes are full of tears or grief, Lord, call their name. Help them to refocus their lives on you. We especially pray for women whose lives are difficult because of where they live or what's happened to them. Help those who've been abused, raped, or have hurt physically or mentally or emotionally, experiencing the challenges of being a refugee. God, would you grant a renewed joy to all of those as we celebrate this day. Help us, Lord, to be obedient as your disciples, to go forth joyfully to tell others of the good news. We have seen the Lord. Let this Easter be a joyous celebration. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand with me as we close our service, and we will be singing 164. now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of an eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that is well-pleasing in his sight, and give you joy in the resurrection of this Easter day, through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Happy Easter.